a company was paying close to 200 grand a year for HubSpot. And you know how much of that plan they actually used? Maybe 30%.
Wait, 30%? So they were paying a fortune for a bunch of features nobody ever opened?
Exactly that. And the price wasn't even the worst part. It was that the tool shaped the way they sold, you know, when it should be the other way around.
Okay, but before we dive into this, let me introduce myself properly. I'm Marina, the AI host here on Papo de Cayo. Yep, I'm an actual AI voice talking about artificial intelligence. Pretty meta, right?
Super meta. And honestly, it fits today's topic because we're talking about a CRM I built from scratch in 2 weeks to replace HubSpot.
So this is what I don't get, Cayo. Why ditch a proven platform that everyone uses to build from scratch? It sounds kind of brave, to put it nicely.
Look, it sounds crazy, but there was logic to it. The real problem was this. They were paying a fortune for features nobody used and getting stuck on the tool's limitations. Like they wanted a specific field in the pipeline, a data relationship that made sense for their operation, and HubSpot wouldn't let them do it the right way.
Right, so the tool was dictating how they had to work.
Exactly, and that's the pain almost nobody measures. You pay the subscription, but you also pay in a broken process, in workarounds, in your team wasting time bending the operation to fit the tool. When you add it all up, in-house came out way cheaper.
Okay, I'm sold on the why. Now tell me the behind the scenes. What did the first week look like?
The first week I didn't write a single line of code, not one.
Not one? On something that had to be done in 2 weeks?
Not one. I spent the whole week mapping out the real sales process. I sat down with the team, asked how a lead came in, where it got stuck, what they were actually jotting down in some side notebook outside of HubSpot.
There's always a side notebook, isn't there?
Always. And that notebook is where the real process lives. But there was a mistake that almost happened. At first I thought, I'll just copy HubSpot, but my way.
And why is that a mistake? It sounds like a shortcut.
Because then I'd be carrying all the platform's complexity for no reason. The point wasn't to rebuild HubSpot. It was to solve that company's specific operation. Those are very different things.
But Cayo, 2 weeks for something as critical as a CRM? Isn't that too short, honestly? I'm a little skeptical here.
It's too short if you try to do everything. That's why the scope was lean. The MVP had lead entry, the pipeline with their actual stages, contact history, and a few simple conversion reports. That's it.
And what got left out?
Email automation, integrations with 1,000 tools, a dashboard packed with pretty charts, all on purpose. Because too many features kill an internal project, not too few.
Was that the most expensive lesson?
It was the most expensive, yeah. We think internal projects die because some feature was missing. Wrong, they die because people pile on features, it gets complex, nobody maintains it, and it turns into a zombie. Less really is more.
And that conversation with the sales team, was it really worth it? Because there are so many market benchmarks out there.
It was worth more than any benchmark. A benchmark shows you what other people do. The sales team shows you what your company needs. And those two almost never line up.
Okay, but what about maintenance? Because at least with an off-the-shelf tool, somebody updates it for you. What about when you need to change the in-house one?
That's the turning point, Marina. With your own code, changing it is fast. The team asked for a new field on a Tuesday. By Wednesday, it was live. With HubSpot, that would mean opening a ticket, waiting, or it just not being possible at all.
Oh, so the advantage isn't even the cost. It's how fast you can adapt.
Both. And that's when my thinking shifted. I stopped thinking like an engineer who wants to build the right thing and started thinking like a product person. What problem does this solve? For whom? The code is just the means.
Nice. But look, that was back then. Today, with AI, would you do it the same way? Still 2 weeks?
Today? I'd do it in 3-4 days. Seriously, 2 weeks turned into under one.
Wow. And what does AI do now that used to take you days?
Here's a concrete example. The spec work, structuring the database, writing the base CRUD. That used to be 2-3 days. Now I use prompt generating tools to build the spec, drop it into a model, and the skeleton comes out in hours.
Prompt generating tools? What do you mean, a prompt to make a prompt?
More or less. Instead of writing some generic request for the AI, I use a tool that structures that request properly, with context, with constraints, with format. The quality of what comes out is dramatically better.
But hold on, there's a difference there, right? Using AI to code faster isn't the same as using it to think better.
That's the most important insight of the whole episode. Using AI to code fast is cool, but it's the least important part. The goal is using AI to think through the product, to question, does this field need to exist? Does this flow make sense? That's when it becomes a strategy partner, not a typist.
I love that. Now the part every executive wants to hear, the math. Does it actually add up?
Let's do the math. Their HubSpot was about 20 grand a month. The in-house build, construction costs, plus cheap hosting, plus a few hours of maintenance a month. In the first year, they saved over 90%.
90% is a lot. But I'm going to push the other side here, Caio. There are hidden costs in this, right? Don't just sell me the pretty side.
There are, and I'll be honest, maintenance is a cost, team time is a cost, and there's risk. If the person who built it leaves, someone has to understand that code. That's real, and it has to go into the math.
So who is this not a good idea for?
For anyone who doesn't have someone to maintain it, anyone whose process changes constantly with no direction, or anyone for whom HubSpot works just fine and isn't hurting the wallet. If the off-the-shelf tool fits and works, keep paying for it. No romanticizing.
Fair. So give me a quick checklist. Someone's thinking about building before signing up for one more platform. What do they look at?
Three things. One, is your process already clear, or are you waiting for the tool to organize it? Two, do you have someone to maintain it afterward? Three, is the platform cost actually hurting, or is it just mild discomfort? If all three check out, it's worth talking about building.
And there's one question you ask every client, right? Before deciding.
I always ask this, is your problem the tool, or is it your process? Because if it's the process, no new software, bought or built, is going to save you. Start with the process, the tool comes later.
Start with the process, the tool comes later. I think that's the summary of the entire episode.
That's it. And here's the teaser for next time. AI is completely changing this build versus buy decision. Building is getting so cheap that the scale is going to tip much more toward custom. We'll get into that in a future episode.
Let's leave that hanging then. And that's it, everyone. Thank you so much for listening all the way through. The most useful thing to take home, don't copy a tool, solve your operation. Fewer features is more. And before signing up for one more plan, ask yourself if the pain is the tool or the process. If you're stuck on that question of building versus continuing to pay, drop us a comment. Tell us your situation. And if this resonated, apply the idea this week, even if it's just mapping out your process on paper. A big hug and see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Start with the process. We'll figure out the rest. See you next time.